going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
And off we go, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome in the Tuesday, but for me, Monday feels like a Wednesday edition of the Rob Brown Show goes now. Great to have you. Happy whatever day it is for you. I am Rob Brown. Glad to be back. Sorry about yesterday. I don't know what to tell you. I feel like I got hit by a large tractor trailer. Not one of the regular tractor trailers, but one of those tractor trailers that has the other truck behind it. That has the big extra wide flags on it. One of those tractor trailers.
Wow, that's a lot.
You know the ones I'm talking about. Like, not like the regular trailer, the Amazon truck bringing the packages to all the good little boys and girls. I'm talking about like the one that has the pilot truck with the yellow lights out front to tell the people up front, get your ass out the way or move because we got a extra wide load coming through. That's the one that hit me this weekend. Not great. But we're back. Hi, Lonzo.
Hello.
How's it going?
I had a migraine for 3 days. So, I mean,
just dandy.
You know, other than that, I'm good.
And unlike some people, Lonzo showed up for work anyway.
I did.
Unlike some losers, Lonzo decided to suck it up and play like a champion today. Not me. To illustrate.
I'm keeping it dark over here, though.
I see that.
That's all I'm saying.
I didn't even go to the lights today. I'm like, nope. Yeah. For Zoe's sake, we're going to keep the mood lighting.
Can't wait to try to read.
Would you like me to do the sports flash today? No, I got it.
No, I good. Listen, if playing hurt means you play. It doesn't mean you just like let everyone else pick up. I mean, I'm good.
Okay.
I mean, it's not going to be any worse than it normally is. So, I mean, we're all right.
I took extra care to make sure I got it right today. That doesn't mean I did, but I took extra care in making sure I did. To let you know where I am in the world, Saturday night, had the sister and brother-in-law in the Casa de Love. They came down for Easter, and they stayed with me and the lady friend. And so Saturday night, we were all sitting around the living room. I forced all of them to watch WrestleMania while we hung out. Had some cocktails, played some board games as adults do. We were playing Sequence. Great game. Fun game. Easy game to play. You know, keeps the diatribe rolling. Played some Sequence. And about halfway through the game, I'm like, is it really cold in here? Is it just me? Wife was like, nah. And I usually, like, I run hot, right? I run hot. She's like, nope, it's just you. I said, okay. So I went and put a hoodie on. A couple of minutes later, I'm like, golly, like it's real cold in here. She's like, it's not cold in here. So I went like the 90-year-old grandfather I am, got my Afghan, my little knitted blankie. I'm a big fan of the little knitted blankie.
So you don't have Sherpas? I mean, Sherpas are...
I have a Sherpa, but okay. I didn't want to go all the way there, right?
Okay, all right.
The Afghan was close, so I covered up. So now I've got on the joggers, a shirt, a hoodie, and I'm up in the knitted Afghan. And I'm like, this is nice. By the way, Afghans, in retrospect, I was thinking about this as I was covered up with an Afghan. What's the point of a blanket with holes in it? Can anyone explain that? What's the point of a blanket with holes in it?
Fashion statement.
No, like my great-great-great-grandmother knitted Afghans. Okay, I still have, that part's a joke. This part, not a joke. My actual grandmother on my mother's side did knit Afghans. I still have one of them. It's lovely. It's of great sentimental value. It's a blanket with holes in it. Why, people of yonder day? Why blankets with holes in them? Does that not defeat the purpose? Anyway, covered up in my little Afghan. And I thought to myself, golly, I'm still chilly. You know what will fix this? Bourbon. Bourbon will fix that. So I went. I pulled myself a couple of nice little fingers of Angel's Envy. That's my sipping bourbon right now. The Angel's Envy. It's good stuff. Got some Angel's Envy. Went back to the couch. Covered back up with my Afghan. Had a couple of sips of bourbon. Still not. If bourbon's not doing the trick, there's something wrong. There's something drastically wrong. So then I went to the bedroom. I got my heating pad because again, I'm like a crossword puzzle and a pipe shy of being 100. So I went. And I got my heating pad, put the heating pad across my shoulders, covered up again. At this point, I'm not even really like playing the game. Like I'm holding my cards under the blankie and I'm like, can you put my chip on the nine of diamonds, please? And they're all laughing. They're like, golly, Rob, you're 100. I'm like, yeah, I know. But what do you want? I'm cold. And then by the end of this game, yo, I'm still freezing like to my bones. I'm like, oh, she looks at me. She's like, you're getting sick. I was like, no, I'm not getting sick. I don't get sick. Champions don't get sick. I'm not sick. Woke up Sunday morning in a pile of sweat. I mean, like, you know that sweat where when you wake up, you can see your body print on the sheet? You know that sweaty when you wake up that you can see exactly where your arms and your legs were? That kind of sweat. Woke up, the wife was like, you're a gross person. Yeah, no, I know. I didn't do this on purpose. Got up. Was like still trying to pull through it, go to Easter. It got to be about 30 minutes later. I'm like, babe, tell your family I said happy Easter. I can't. She's like, yeah, no, you're right. You can't. So she went to Easter. I went back to bed. Here's how sick I was. I got back in bed at about 12:30 on Easter Sunday. Went back to bed at about 12:30. Went back to sleep at about 12:30. She got back home at about 5 in the afternoon. That was the first time I woke up since she left. Got up, let the dogs out, was still feeling like crap. Went back to sleep at about 5:35, 5:45. I slept through WrestleMania Sunday. I slept through the entire WrestleMania Sunday. Day two, I have not watched a minute of WrestleMania day two. Not a second of it. I slept all the way through it. I slept into the night. By the time that I texted Mark and Zoe, which was in that window I was awake, I'm like, boys, I'm real sorry. This is bad. And I don't want to take the shot that I'm just going to be okay overnight. And I'm glad I did because I was not. Took the first sick day, like actual sick day that I've taken. I think I worked backwards. I think it's about a year and a half that I took my first like I'm sick day. Had not watched a minute of WrestleMania, went back to sleep, got out of bed yesterday. The wife went to work. She left at like 7. She came home. I got up, walked the dogs a couple of times. Not walked the dogs. Took the dogs outside a couple of times. Went back to bed. She got home about 4 in the afternoon. That was the first I had gotten out of bed since then. Went back to bed last night at about 5:30 or so. Have not been out of bed since this morning at 3:45 when the alarm went off. Because I wasn't taking two in a row. Boss texted yesterday at like 4:00. He's like, you back tomorrow? And I just texted him a gif of the Notre Dame players hitting the play like a champion today sign. I'm like, I'm not taking two in a row. I'll die in that chair before I take back-to-back sick days. I'm not throwing anybody else under the bus. People got to do extra work when I'm not here. Can't do it. Can't bring myself to do it. So got up this morning, slapped the sign on the way out the door, play like a champion today. And here we are. So I apologize for missing yesterday. I know that it ruined the local economy. I know that things came to a grinding and screeching halt with no The Rob Brown Show yesterday. But despite the fact that I ain't going to lie, I feel about 1,000 times better than I felt yesterday. Not 100%. You know how when you roll your ankle, like that first 2-3 days, you're not 100%. Then you get back on the court, but you're kind of like, oh, I don't know if I could, I don't know if I should zig when I zag or zag when I zig or whatever, but I ain't all the way there. I'm going to go through the 100% pace, but I'm not, no contact yet. It's a red jersey day for Rob Brown. It's a non-contact day. I'm going to get out. I'm going to throw the drills. I'm going to hit my marks, but no contact jersey. However, we're going to do what we can do. We're going to do what we can do. Lonzo's here to carry us, all right? He's the all-star. No days off for the great one. He's going to work through it. I'm going to give you everything I got for 4 hours. And then I'm going to go home and try not to die. That's the game plan, people. Do what you can do for 4 hours. Go home. Don't die till tomorrow. That's all any of us are trying to do. All right. We got a lot we got to get to. I will start it off because it is, I think, important to do so. I think you got to take the L's with the dubs and the dubs with the L's. When you poo-poo on people, you must be willing to lift them up and acknowledge them when things go well. I don't want to jinx anything. I don't want to outkick the coverage. I don't want to overdo it here because it's not exactly against the creme de la creme of Major League Baseball, but the Atlanta Braves have won 4 games in a row. Four! That's that many for those of you watching on the stream. 4 games in a row for the Atlanta Braves. They sweep the Minnesota Twins, who, again, in fairness, I think it is important to maintain perspective, maintain levity in both the good and the bad. Perspective is the most important thing that anyone can gain in this life. You must keep everything in perspective. It is against the lowly now 7-15 Minnesota Twins, but a 3-game sweep of the Minnesota Twins nonetheless. And then a game last night, a dub over the St. Louis Cardinals, who are now 9-14 after the L. But any dub's a good dub when you are a losing baseball team like the now 9-13 Atlanta Braves. But 4 wins in a row for the Bravos last night. Granted, again, the Cardinals are not a good team. The Cardinals are a slumping team, if anything, right now. The St. Louis Cardinals have lost now 5 games in a row, including getting swept in a 4-gamer by the New York Mets. But that does make this series even more important for the Atlanta Braves, because the Mets at 16-7 are 6.5 games up on the Atlanta Braves in that division. That's the bad news. The good news is, courtesy of a 4-game win streak for the Atlanta Braves, just like that, the Braves are no longer in sole possession of last place in the NL East. They are now in tied possession of last place in the NL East. They are now tied with the Washington Nationals at 9-13. They are 1 game back of the Miami Marlins for second to last place in the NL East. The Miami Marlins are 10-12, 1 full game up on Atlanta and Washington. The Phillies are 13-10. They are 3.5 games up now on the Atlanta Braves. That's for second in the East. The point of all of this is very simply that, as much as I have been, and this I'm sure comes as a bit of a shock to all of you, I've been a wee bit doomy and gloomy on the Atlanta Braves this morning. I do want to say this. This does not mean that I think everything's swimming and going wonderfully. It's not. It's not. Quite the opposite. There's still a lot of problems that need to be ironed out right now. And I say this, and what I was going to say, before I got the text from Dewey that said, quote, "You ruined my Monday." Well, I missed you too, Dewey. Thank you very much. That's very sweet of you. He said, "You ruined my Monday. Braves need new leadership and a new closer. Raisel Iglesias doesn't have it anymore." Dewey, look at you. How far we've come. How far our relationship has blossomed, Dewey, because you and I are on the same wavelength now. This man, 6 months ago, wanted me fired, run out of town on a rail, and now we're arm in arm with Braves takes. My goodness gracious. We're like Paul Heyman and Seth Rollins. We're just on the same page now. Impeccable, Dewey. And exactly correct. If you did not see the situation that played out with Jared Kelenic, Brian Snicker, and a benched Ronald Acuna Jr., I'm going to tell you right now, the Braves have bigger problems than a 9-13 record right now. The Braves have bigger problems than the fact that they do not have any back-end pitching that is reliable and consistent. And I'm willing to say, hey, you know what? Maybe just we're in a bad stretch of the season. As Lonzo pointed out when I was doomy and gloomy a couple of days ago, maybe the Braves are just having that consistent mid-season slump that we have gotten so accustomed to. Maybe they just shifted the schedule up. Maybe just they're having their traditional mid-season slump at the beginning of the season. Maybe they're just getting it out of the way. And let's hope that's the case, because I really don't know how many or what moves are out there. I'd like to think Alex Anthopoulos is going to be cooking something up to get some middle relief, get some closing pitching into the fold closer to the trade deadline. We'll see. Here's what I do know. Jared Kelenic pimped a home run. That wasn't a home run. It ended up getting him thrown out at second base. Pimped a home run. Watched it. Oh, no, he caught it. And tried to leg it into a double, got thrown out. And Ronald Acuna Jr. put on Twitter, after Kelenic caught pimping a homer and then getting thrown out because of it, Ronald Acuna Jr. tweeted out, if that would have been me, I would have been benched for that. And aptly so, because that's quite literally happened. Quite literally, that has happened. So Ronald Acuna Jr. says, if that would have been me, I'd have got benched for it. And in the post-game press conference, because welcome to media, where everybody's tuned into the social side of it all the time, they went straight to Brian Snicker. Hey, Snitty! Ronnie on Twitter said, had he pimped a home run and got tossed at second like that, he would have been benched. Do you have a reaction to that? And Brian Snicker said, do I now? I didn't see it. I wouldn't really watch it. I didn't see it. What are we talking about? Not great, Brian. Not great. You're telling me you weren't? You weren't watching your ball club? But he said, and there is a shot that I found, I don't know, compelling, I guess is the word here. There's a shot from the center field camera looking back in at Kelenic, pimping this home run that wasn't one. And you can see Snit, and he's in the background, and he's doing his little grandpa who's out of bleeps to give pose, and he's got his mouth slack jawed open, just like, watching the ball go. And it's like, you're not a fan, guy. Like, I understand you want to be electrified and excited. You want to be on with the momentum, buddy. I get it. But, buddy, you're not a fan. Like, I need you to be watching the I should not have more context on the baseball game than the manager of the Atlanta Braves. Understand? I should not be calling out Kelenic for pimping a home run and then having you in the postgame presser go, oh, I don't know, I wasn't watching. Oh, I don't know, I wasn't paying attention. What? What are we doing here? So it's great the Braves have won 4 in a row. I'm excited the Braves have won 4 in a row. I hope that this is the spark. I hope they keep finding some stuff. I don't care that it comes against two of the most definition mid teams in MLB. Any 4 wins in a row is a good 4 wins in a row for the Atlanta Braves. But the issue here isn't the performance right now. They got 8 hits yesterday. You got good enough pitching. Oh, yeah, that's right. Spencer Strider's back on the 15-day DL. One performance back on the DL. How'd he get hurt, you ask? According to the Braves, he strained his hamstring playing catch. What? Lonzo and I could go play catch for 6 hours in the parking lot. If either one of us pulls a hammy, go ahead and put us down. What are you talking about here? But I got a manager who's not watching the game. What? What are we doing here? All right, we're going to talk more Braves ball later on in the show because I don't feel great, and I want to make it worse, apparently. NFL Draft Week, we are now inside of 62 hours until the Tennessee Titans officially go on the clock. Have not finished my mock, mainly because I thought I was going to die yesterday. But I got some thoughts on it. And I'll share those with you. We'll get some NBA and NHL playoffs and more. He's Lonzo. I'm Rob. We are glad to have you on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Yeah, I know. I know. I'm trying to get my life together, man. I'm behind a couple of days. I'm trying to keep my collective together is what I'm doing. Okay. It's not even trying to keep it together. It's trying to get it back together to then be kept together. Yeah, I know. Nothing new. Nothing different. Real quick, I actually forgot about this. But I wanted to send a shout out to the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame. We had the opportunity last week to go to their enshrinement ceremony, which was lovely, by the way. I got to do something last week that I had never gotten to do before. Touch a Heisman Trophy. I've seen them. I've been around them. I've seen the Heisman Trophy on campus in Tallahassee. When I was covering the Noles, I've seen Tebow's Heisman Trophy down at Gainesville, Florida. Every other time I've been around a Heisman Trophy, that Heisman Trophy has been englassified. It's been in some sort of museum exhibit, if you will.
You didn't pick it up, right?
No. I cannot tell you how badly I wanted to.
I believe they're pretty durable, so it might have been all right, but you know.
At the SC Football Hall of Fame induction ceremony last week,
You might have J.D. Vanced it. And, you
know, I'm not going to lie. That thought was spinning through my head for just a minute. So we went out and I had the opportunity, and again, very appreciative to everybody over at the SC Hall of Fame, David White, Mikey Football. My absolute dude, let me tell you, these guys were fantastic, man. They were awesome. As soon as I showed up, they were like, what can we do? What do you need? Who do you need? What can we do for you? It was fantastic. So we got some very cool interviews. I'm going to be playing those for you this week. Meant to take some time to kind of clean them up and edit them together this weekend to play for you. Unfortunately, I was on the brink of death, so I did quite literally zero work this weekend. I finished the show on Saturday, bet for the cycle. I had all the stuff I wanted to get done for Monday's show. Instead, my project for the weekend was make it through the weekend. Anyway, I will have some of those interviews for you later on this week. But got some interviews, talked to Kyle Kinnard, talked to Jonathan Abraham, talked to a couple of these different guys. Had a great time. And then they said, we're going to make our way over to the other side of the Harkness Hotel. We're going to head over there and start the ceremony if you'd like to make your way over. So, sure, no problem. Walked over, and as I turned the corner to the little pavilion that was outside of the banquet hall, I looked over, and you know that flashback thing you do where you see something, and then you turn the head the other way, and then the brain catches up with what you just saw, and you kind of do the double take. That, I was like, is that the Heisman Trophy? Is that the Heisman Trophy? It was. It turns out that they had brought over the Heisman Trophy that belonged to George Rogers. And it was a moment. Because again, I have seen Heisman Trophies before. But there's always been, and probably a great idea, a big sheet of glass between me and said Heisman Trophy. But they had George Rogers Heisman Trophy, and it was just there on a table. And I walked over to it, and I was zoned in. I was locked in, right? Because again, I've seen one, but I've never been, put it this way. Rob Brown is a big believer in if you get the opportunity to touch history, touch history. Now, that's within its limits, all right? If there's a big-ass sign that says don't touch the history, then don't touch the history.
It could also lead to a restraining order.
100%.
If the history is a person.
Okay, that's more than fair. But I'm a big believer when the wife and I went up to Boston a couple of years ago. First time. Rob's a big American Revolutionary War buff, all right? I'm a fanatic for that stuff. When we went to Boston and we did the Patriots Trail, the Freedom Trail, whichever one it's called, and it takes you between all these different sites, right? Like it takes you to, you start in the old Granary Burial Ground. That's where like Paul Revere is buried. And you know, unless there's a sign that says don't touch it. For whatever reason, there is something for me. And it's probably some form of OCD that I should have diagnosed one day. There is some weird connection for me in physically putting my hand on a piece of history that makes me feel connected to that thing, right? Like if I can put my hand onto the tombstone of Paul Revere, I feel this connection to that history that as many times as I have heard, listen, children, and you shall hear of the midnight ride of Paul Revere, there's something about being able to touch that history. I've never touched a Heisman Trophy before. I've never had the opportunity to touch the Heisman Trophy. And so as I walked over to this Heisman Trophy, just seated on this table, my brain, every little synapse in my brain is like, touch it, 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 touch it. And the rational side of my brain's like, do not touch the Heisman Trophy. And then in the back of the brain, the lizard brain, touch it, touch it, touch it. So as I walk over, and I'm like standing the opposite side of the table. There's nobody else near this thing. It's just me. I'm standing opposite, and this guy walks up, and he walks up behind me and goes, do you want a picture with it? And I was like, what? And I turn around, and I realize that they have set up a, like a photo, it's not like a photo booth. It's like this podium that has a camera built into it, but it's like a photo stand. And he's like, do you want a picture with it? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, all right, man, walk on the other side of the table. And I go, okay. So I walk around and stand behind it, and I look at him, and he goes, all right, yeah, it's going to say 3, 2, 1 on this camera. When it gets to 1, it's going to take the picture. And as he goes to push the little button that starts it, I go, can I touch it? That's not my proudest moment, but that's all my brain could come up with was, can I touch it? And he goes, yeah. Yeah, that's fine. And I was like, so it's just, and here's the thing. This is where the dumb part of my brain evolves even farther, because I now have permission to touch George Rogers Heisman Trophy. I'm a 40-year-old man. I'm a lifelong college football fan. I've gotten to see plenty of Heismans, never gotten to touch a Heisman Trophy. So now it's just like instant, whoop, like hands on the side. And I didn't know what to do, because there's part of me that's like, okay, do you just touch the base of the trophy?
You didn't think about caressing it, did you?
No, what? Not like in a romantic okay, way.
Because you're like, what do I do with my hands? Oh, yeah. I don't know.
The only thing I can compare it to, and I know this is going to take, this might take some of you back, and some of you may not be too much of a recent, and some of you may not even be there yet. You remember the first time you had that moment where you realize you liked a gal? And you realize the gal might be, like, maybe she likes you too. And you know that thing that's been turned into the movie trope of like, nah, like I'm going to stretch out. And then you just kind of let that arm fall over the shoulder of the young lass. You remember that first time you had that consensual touch where you like, you get to put an arm over the shoulder, or maybe you put the arm around the waist of that young lady. And you remember those little butterflies that fluttered up within you? You remember that feeling? It was that. But you remember how that came with like that sense of awkward a little bit? Like this? Or like, does the hand go there? Maybe you did the hover hand where like the arm draped, but you didn't let the hand touch. Or you like, maybe you started it and then you like the hand made contact and then you chickened out and you're like, ah, no, not yeah, I don't think that's right. You know that awkward feeling, that little bit of like a little bit of nervous, a little bit of butterflies, whatever? It was that for me. And I know this is dumb. I'm a 40-year-old guy who very clearly doesn't lack confidence. For whatever reason, when the hands touched, when the hands went towards the trophy, it was like, how do I touch? How touch I doing? I don't know what to do. So I went hands on the side of the base of the trophy, but like just with like the fingers on, you know how there's like the base and then there's the part of the metal that's like the ground before you have the player's feet that go up into the actual player portion of the trophy. I rest my hands on the base with just like my fingers touching the base of the metal, right? It was, again, it was that moment where like you put your arm around the girl and then like the hand goes down, but you're like, you don't want to touch too much, right? You don't want to overtouch. You don't want to go too far to where she goes, oh no, too much. So like maybe you just let like just the fingertip rest on like the top of the shoulder and you wait for a reaction. Like, is that okay? Is that okay? And she doesn't move. So then like maybe two more fingers down and she's like, is that okay? And she doesn't pull away. So then like eventually you work your way to having all five fingers on the shoulder and you just kind of like finger by like wait for the reaction. Of, is she going to pull away? Is she going to slap me? Whatever. It was that. I just kind of let the fingers rest on the base of the trophy there. And the guy's like, okay, are you ready? He's like, yes, sir. So he goes, all right, 3, 2, 1. And they end up taking the picture. So he goes, all right, give me like 30 seconds. We're going to print this thing out. And he turns back around to the machine. It's like connected to a computer, and that computer is connected to a printer. So he walks over, and he turns his back to me. And as he's got his back turned to me, Lonzo, that's when the intrusive thoughts started. Because in the back of my brain, I had the thought of, I bet I could pick it up. Because this thing, I think it's supposed to weigh, what, like 27 pounds?
Yeah, it's a lot heavier than, yeah.
Yeah, it weighs like 27 pounds. And I'm like, I bet I could pick it up. But I realized, like, they have this thing set in this spot for the camera, right? They have this, and here's the picture of it. I'm putting it on the stream. I'm holding it up. But there's the picture of it, right? So I realized, like, they have this thing set on this table. It's posed
right
here. It's
a good picture, by the way.
It's a great picture. Thank you very much. My hair looks impeccable. I appreciate you saying that.
You legitimately look happy.
I was so happy. I was, the first time in my 40-year-old win, I was touching a Heisman Trophy. I was losing my mind. I was like a kid on Christmas. So I'm touching a Heisman Trophy. He turns around. He puts his back to me, and I'm like, I bet I could pick it up. And so, in that, let me tell you how this went down real quick. He turns his back. My hands, and this is where you start going from that first puppy love arm around the waist to, like, the first time you're like, I think it's time to make a move. I think it's my time to make a move. Like, maybe do I put my finger, like, under the collar of her T-shirt? Right? Like, do I make that first little, like, more than just a move? I took the hands. They slid up. I got one hand, though, under the shin of the outstretched back leg, and I had the other one creeping up to the knee on the other leg. And if you don't know, I'm talking about a trophy. This sounds very awkward, but not the point. I got my hands in the pick up the Heisman position, and then I went J.D. Vance, and I just left it alone. Swear to God. As soon as my hands got under that, it was like, pick it up. As soon as my hands got under there, my first thought was J.D. Vance. If I was to pick this thing up and it like disconnects from the base, or I go to set it down and it falls over, whatever, I will never be invited to another event of any magnitude in the history forever. I'll be trending on social media as the guy who broke the Heisman. I'd like to thank Vice President of the United States, J.D. Vance, for saving my life. Because if I would have gone through with the intrusive thoughts and picked up this trophy and somehow been the first person in American football history to break the Heisman, I would have canceled my own career. So I would like to thank the Veep, J.D. Vance, for reminding me not to get outside your lane. Stay in your lane, Rob Brown. Your lane is take picture with Heisman. Get the bleep out of the way. That's your lane, Rob Brown. So thanks, JD, for helping your boy out with that. Let's take a break. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Jarrett, Texas Show, said, Rob, if you've never been to a South Carolina football game, George Rogers is almost always there right outside the stadium taking pictures with the Heisman Trophy with fans. Two things, Texter. Number one, I've been to four. I've been to a few games at both Columbia and Clemson. And here's what I can tell you. When I go to the Clemson games, I am almost exclusively going in a media capacity. Because I know there are many Clemson fans, and I know many of you guys go to the games. I don't really have, I have friends that go to Clemson games, and I've bounced around tailgate to tailgate, but I don't know how to say this without it sounding either A, bad on me, or B, bad on them, but it is what it is. Welcome to the show. Nobody's safe. I don't really have any go to the Clemson games with my Clemson friends fans, right? Like, if I had people in my life that were Clemson fans that said, Rob Brown, do you want to go to a Clemson game? Do you want to go tailgate with us? Do you want to sit with us? Whatever. I'd say, yeah, absolutely. I have not experienced a Clemson game as a fan yet. I've exclusively gone in a media capacity.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, you have. That's why you hate them. You've made that very clear. I have not had anybody so far, let's put it that way, that has hit me with the Rob Brown, got a spare tick, do you want to come tailgate, do you want to go to the game in a fan capacity? Because the answer would be yeah. It just hasn't happened yet. And that's not a call out or anything. It's just how the old proverbial cookie crumbles. My wife is a Gamecock. My wife loves South Carolina. So she wants to go to a game or two a year. And what mama wants, mama gets. So I have gone to a few South Carolina football games with her in a fan capacity. I am a South Carolina fan by marriage, okay? That is not to say when I'm behind this mic, everybody's fair game. I can tell you for a fact, this show has caused marital strife on a day-to-day basis because some of the things that I have said about the Gamecocks, and I have to remind my wife very regularly, nobody is off limits behind this mic. You, your fandom, your team, your coach, whatever. This is the definition of a, that guy hates my team show. Yeah, I hate everybody's team, and I love everybody's team equally. But I am a South Carolina fan by marriage. So I have been to a number of games with her in a fan capacity. Which leads me to my next point, Texter. There have been zero South Carolina games where within 30 minutes to kickoff, Rob is in any way, shape, or form in a meet, shake hands, and introduce himself to a legend capacity. Yeah? Do you get my drift? I'm going to say this. I have not experienced a Clemson tailgate yet. If any of you will be doing any tailgating in the fall, and should you wish to be joined by a minor league radio broadcaster, let me know where your tailgate is. I'd love to pull up. I'll even bring my own party favors, all right? However, I've been to a number of South Carolina tailgates, and I'm going to tell you, the tailgate game is pretty strong in Columbia, South Carolina, to the point that, well, first off, I didn't know this about George Rodgers. Okay, I was unaware that he just hangs out outside the stadium and takes pictures with fans and the Heisman, or else you can bet your Rudy Patootie I'd have been over there grabbing one of those because I am a, what do you want to call it, desperate? I don't know.
Yeah, I met George Rogers and didn't realize it was him, and I did the do you know who I am to George Rogers.
Did he hit you with the do you know who I am?
No, we were, the band was playing in Honeypath. Big time.
Honeypath. In what now?
The band was playing in Honey and
Path. I don't believe in that.
Yeah. Anyway, so we were there, and I was walking out to my car to get something. I was wearing a Gamecock jersey, and he comes up to me, and I didn't know it was him, and tried to get me to buy a raffle ticket. I was like, yeah. He's like, a chance to do something. I forget. I think it was meet George Rogers. And because this is a long time ago, and I was like, yeah, I'm in radio. You know, if I wanted to meet him, I could. Yeah, George Rogers trying to sell me a raffle to meet him. Yes.
Wait. That's the most Charles Barkley story I've ever heard.
Yeah.
George Rogers tried to sell you a raffle ticket for an opportunity to meet George Rogers.
Yeah, it was. He was laughing the whole time, and I was like, okay.
That's fantastic.
I'm just thinking, this guy's a happy guy. That's fine. So I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm in radio. I can meet. And at the time, I was doing a Gamecock sports show. So, you know, I'm just like, yeah, you know, I can meet him if I want to.
I'm not saying you have to know everybody in the history of South Carolina to do that, but I'm pretty sure if it got out in the public that the host of the Carolina Gamecock pregame show didn't know that George Rogers was there selling raffle tickets to meet George Rogers.
Thing. It doesn't hurt me. It's me. I mean, this doesn't surprise anybody. So then we went back and played the show, and George Rogers was out there just rocking. And then I found out later it was him.
That's fantastic.
Because I had seen, so, you know, we moved here. So when he played, I wasn't here. So I didn't know what older George Rogers looked like. And he had let himself go a little bit. He's a little bit heavier.
I mean, who amongst us, am
yeah,
I right?
Yeah, yeah. He was a little bit heavier.
I lost 5 pounds over the past 2 days, by the way.
I'm sure you're glad about that. So I will always, every time I see him, I will laugh about that because and that's why I will never do that. Do you know who I am? Thing.
Good call.
Because he thought it was hilarious.
Good call.
And he was laughing. And then like the next day, I was at work and I saw a picture of him now. Because there was like something done in the paper from him being at that place. I'm like, oh, you gotta be kidding me.
That's incredible. Selling a ticket. Hey, who sold you that ticket for a chance to meet George Rogers? George Rogers.
He sought me out too, because I was the only one wearing a Gamecock jersey there, I think. And so he just come up to me and he thought it was hilarious. So I gave him a laugh. So good for him.
That's incredible.
I mean, you know.
That's incredible.
But I will never forget that. And that's why I will never do the do you know who I am thing ever.
Oh, man. That's phenomenal. Well done. All right. I don't know how to go any further with that story. Suffice to say, that's the reason I have not met George Rogers outside of the stadium before a South Carolina game. Because number one, none of y'all told me that that was a thing. And because number two, by the time it would be time to walk over to Willie B and snag that pictorial bit of history, your boy's not really usually in a spot. Because I got my tailgating scheduled down to Menard. I know exactly when to start. I know exactly when to stop so that I can ride the high end of the game and be done with it at the conclusion of it.
So you're saying
saying I'm a tailgate artiste.
You're at, yeah, Jey Uso press conference level by the time you get over there? Or
by the time the game starts.
Okay, all right.
Oh, that was bad. That was bad. That was real bad. That was real bad. Even as a dude who's fine with a little post-match imbibery, Jey, you may want to wait until post conference. You might want to slow your roll a little bit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Fire, yeet, woof, Jey, woof. Not your best look for championship appearance number one. All right. Anyway, thanks to the South Carolina. Now that I've put all that out in the open, thanks to the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame one more time again for having me out for their induction ceremony last week. It was a spectacular event, and I didn't break George Rogers' Heisman Trophy, so I got that going for me, which is nice. I was so close. I really was. All right.
I'm glad that you showed restraint. I mean, you know.
Listen, I've seen
you just pick stuff up that you probably shouldn't be picking up. So, I mean, I'm shocked that, and, you know, shout out to JD for getting
shout out to JD Vance for being the walking warning that he was and is. Kids, if you ain't supposed to touch it, don't touch. He is the definition of the reason why your mom said, don't touch that, JD. That's not for you. He's the reason why there is a if you break it, you buy it label in every store in America. All right? I almost got, I could have gotten JD Vance. That's the verb for that now. If you break something that you haven't earned. It's like, if a player breaks the trophy, what do? We all laugh and we buy. How many trophies have we had that a player's team has won and a player's picked it up and it's broken? And what do? Oh, sucks to be that guy. Ha 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 ha. Move on. JD Vance didn't earn that trophy. He shattered that trophy. And I can say as a direct consequence of that, Rob Brown decided do not pick up George Rogers' Heisman Trophy, because what I don't want to do is become the replacement for JD Vance in that discussion, because there's going to be some leeway for the Vice President of the United States to get away with it, right? There's going to be some grace for the Veep doing that, especially if the players are all like, oh, that sucks. We're all going to, there's going to be some joking leeway. If some absolute radio jabroni picks up George Rogers' Heisman so he can get a, and by the way, it's not like it was picking up and get a picture holding it, like this cool moment, right? Like, oh, yeah, I got this picture back in 2025 of me holding a Heisman Trophy. Isn't this cool, kids? No. There was no one around taking this picture. I was by myself. I was the only one by the Heisman Trophy. Hence the injury. I think if there would have been people around, I'd have never had the pick it up thought. There'd have been people around. They're like, no, dummy, don't pick it up. What's wrong with you, you moron? Absolutely not. But because there was no one around, my brain goes, No one can see you. Just do it. Just do the thing. Just pick up the thing. I would have picked it up. I would have held it aloft as if I had won the damn thing, and then I'd have put it right back down. But I had two flashes. Number one was J.D. Vance, and number two was if I pick it up and I break George Rogers Heisman Trophy, not only am I now the replacement for him, not only is that, there's no one around me, and yet someone off in the distance on the other side of the banquet room would have been like filming their buddy shaking hands with one of the enshrinees, and off in the background, blurry and out of sight, would have been the background visual of this goober in a green suit shattering a Heisman Trophy that would have gone viral on the internet, and I would have been absolutely busted in the South Carolina circles. I never would be welcome to the, you're that jackass that broke George Rogers' trophy. And I would have had to say, yeah, that's my bad. That's my bad. That's it.
That would have been akin to the man who shot Jeter.
Yeah. I'd have never been let back in at all.
Not to mention the repercussions that there might have been when you got back to work because you were there. In a
work capacity.
Yes, you were.
And listen, doing stuff like this is fine. All right. They offer the opportunity to take a picture with the Heisman. I don't care if you're there. There are some lines you don't cross. Okay. I finished with John Abraham. I don't go, hey, by the way, can I have your autograph? No, you don't do that. You hope somebody grabs a real cool selfie of you interviewing John Abraham, right? Our buddy Famously Garnett got a real cool picture of me interviewing Kyle Kinnard. That's a great picture. I got that memory. That's going to get printed out and posted when that guy goes Hall of Fame. Like, it's great. That's awesome. But there are lines you don't cross. Taking a picture with the Heisman in a photo booth, that's fine. Whatever. Like, you're not hurting anybody. You're not crossing any lines, whatever, as a neutral observer, whatever. Picking it up and breaking George Rogers' Heisman Trophy would have crossed all the lines. That would have been a massive problem. Could you imagine the see me in my office email I would have gotten had the background blurry Bigfoot video of me shattering George Rogers' Heisman Trophy would have gone off?
No.
Man.
I think that would have got you downstairs.
Oh, yeah. We're not even going down. That's yeah. Not a see me in my office. That's come see us in his office.
Yeah, it would have been in us for sure. Yeah.
Come see us after the show. You know what? Don't even worry about the show today. Why don't you just see us in our office at 8 a.m.? Oh, that could have been bad. So that's why I didn't do it. And in retrospect, real, real, real glad I didn't listen to the intrusive thoughts. Okay? All right, that's enough of that. When we come back next hour of the show, we have got your water cooler cheat sheet coming up at 7 a.m., the top three sports stories that you need to know. We will run you through where we stand in the NBA and NHL playoffs because some of them are heated and some of them are very much not. We'll catch you up on the Braves' 4-game win streak on the line when they take on the Cardinals in game 2 of their 3-gamer tonight. And whatever y'all want to talk about. I'm not going to lie. I didn't put a lot together today because my objective was don't die. Mission accomplished. The rest is on you. I am Rob Brown. He is the great Milanzo. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be the best 60 seconds of your day. It's the Sports Flash.
Hopefully my eyes don't bleed. The Detroit Pistons tied their series 1-1 with the New York Knicks with a 194 win last night. Cade Cunningham had 33 and a dozen boards for Detroit, while Tobias Harris added 15 and 13, and Dennis Schroeder, accounted for 20 off the bench. Game 3 is Thursday night. Mispronouncing is a show thing. The Clippers and Nuggets are tied at a game apiece after a 105-102 LA win last night. Kawhi Leonard had 39 on 15 of 19 shooting, and 4 of 5 Clippers starters had double digits. Nikola Jokic had 26, 12, and 10 for a triple-double in the game 3 is Thursday night. It's 4 wins in a row for the Atlanta Braves, fresh off sweeping a 3-gamer over Minnesota. The Braves bested the Cardinals last night 7-6. Braves had 8 hits, including a 2-run shot from Austin Riley and a 3-run homer from Sean Murphy. Game 2 tonight at 7:15.